As joining us now for his weekly visit is Mavericks large man Chris Kamen. Hello, large friend.
Hey, little guy.
How you doing?
Hey, you know what? I just want to say I really like that background music in that Lexus commercial. That was awesome.
Hey, thank you.
We picked it out ourselves.
Was that gangster rap?
What was that? What would you say that was, Jake?
That was atmosphere, Chris.
Oh.
Now, do you nice. Are you one of those people that consider all rap gangster rap? Or do you?
No, I was just messing around. I don't know. You know.
All right.
Just being my stupid self. But I will say there's some issues I got with the music nowadays. To start off our conversation about music, there is some, you know, there's uncle this, young this, little this. I just get so confused on who's who and what's what, and so I just don't listen to it.
So our counter would have to be what. What holds a premier spot in your iPod, assuming you've moved up to the iPod?
You know, some older classical rock and roll, Led Zeppelin, The Who, Journey, Tom Petty. Then moving up forward, you know, you can get into some of the Metallica's, Bush, Nirvana. Then moving forward, some country music, and, you know, I got a little bit of Christian music from back home. I mix it up, man. I got a lot of stuff going. Just no rap, no hip hop.
Pretty, a lot of whiteness. A lot of white people singing in your iPod.
Are you implying that rap is for black people?
No. I'm implying that classic rock, country music, Christian music, those things just sound white.
Well, what about classical music? When I need to be calm and need
classical.
To settle my.
Yeah, I don't know how many. Down. Brothers Beethoven was
so,
hanging around.
So
with,
there's please. Not an artist, a rap artist, old school, new, any that you like
actually,
at all?
I won't lie to you. I am a fan of Tupac. Back in the day, I used to listen to a lot of Tupac, and then all these other terrible artists came out, and it just put a bad taste in my mouth for rap music. But Tupac's still getting it done, even from the grave.
He is still getting it done.
From the cradle to the grave, man.
He's actually not dead, but... Whatever.
Well, I believe I think that was him and or Elvis, but for some reason, whenever we hear that they're still alive, it generally has to do with rural Michigan is where they're spotted. So I don't know.
Yes, most of the time in the country in Michigan, that is correct. I don't know where you get your numbers from, but that's correct.
It's weird, but I feel like that's the case.
But that's good quality information. I respect that.
And you're from Wyoming, Michigan. Or at least you were born
Rapids.
There.
We call it, I was born in Grand Rapids, raised in Grand Rapids. Then when we got older and we moved out of the town, out of the city, and moved a little bit to the suburbs. And then now my parents live out in the country. And I read somewhere online that we have a chicken farm, but I don't know anything about chickens.
Oh, you read like that you owned one? Or your parents?
Yeah, like I was a chick. I grew up as a chicken. I raised on a chicken farm.
And that's just... horrible slander, isn't it?
Yes. It's every time I hear that, it just really bothers me. I don't want anything to do with those chickens.
So you get a nice national interview or something, someone's looking at your Wikipedia page and inevitably asks you
and
about your chicken.
It was. And then one of the stupid media people that's out there came and said, hey, what about this? Like, what does that have to do with anything? I'm a basketball player. What are you asking me about chickens for? So,
well, if you were a chicken farmer, though, if you were raised amongst chickens,
it would be interesting.
Yes,
that was it's a talking point.
Yeah, it would be like unique topic to talk about. But since it has no merit or any meaning, then who cares?
Like
right,
anybody,
well, then we promise we will file away all of our chicken questions for the next interview.
But anybody in the NBA can talk about basketball.
No, I really do. Now I know so much about chickens now because I had to do the research because everybody kept asking me. So don't file your
okay.
Hang
all right. Well, hang on to the chicken questions then. It's the Chris Kamen Show, which is one of our favorite things these days because
the Kamen Chronicles.
We're really not sure what direction it will go, and you know what? That's just fine with us. So for a basketball topic this week, though, I was intrigued by what it's been like for you from a standpoint of for all these years, and we talked about this last week. 8 years as a Clipper man, And so you knew where you're going to be. You knew everything about what to expect and stability and all that sort of thing. A really weird year in New Orleans. But then this year in Dallas, just from a standpoint of being, settled as an athlete. Do you feel settled?
Just say it. Just come out and get your question out of the way. Don't do all this talking beforehand. Let me hear what you want to know.
I thought I was setting up the question. I just wanted to know if you...
If you're going to ask a question, why do you need to set it all up before? Just ask the question.
Because not everyone in the audience knows your life story. So why don't you relax a little bit?
You just gave him a 20-second life story. That wasn't even enough.
He was raised on a chicken farm, then played 8 years for the Clippers.
Okay, then I played for the Clippers, exactly. Let them know.
Is it weird the way you have gone through the last couple months here? And do you feel settled now? Do you feel like you'll finish the season here even?
Oh, man, I wish I could answer that question. It's just been so inconsistent for me this year. I thought coming here, Dirk would be healthy. I didn't know he was going to have a knee issue, and I know he's going to sit out, 3 months. And it's not his fault. He's brought so much to the city, and he played really well. He's just, one of the most talented players to ever play this game. But I'm not knocking him. But I thought he would be playing, and he wasn't able to. So, he sat out 3 months, and, he's been battling his way back since. He's been returning. So I thought it would be a different story to start the season. I didn't anticipate 8 new guys and everybody having to build this chemistry. And there's a lot that goes into it, when you make a decision. And I love, Cuban's awesome, a great owner, real involved, awesome guy, real nice guy. He does a really good job of treating the guys all, with respect. And I respect that a lot, actually, because I've had owners who were never involved, didn't do anything, and didn't come around, didn't know anything about basketball. So it's a big change, and he really does do a job of first-class job of – this is a first-class organization, the way they take care of players and the way they treat family and players as well. And so that was one of my big decisions when coming here. And then as well as Coach Carlisle's had a really good reputation over the years. So, so I made my decision, and I didn't know what to anticipate, to be honest. And it hasn't been perfect at times, but it also has been pretty solid for me at times. But it's been real up and down and inconsistent, at least for the last month, just having Dirk come back and trying to figure out rotations and lineups and matchups. So it's not, I don't know. I couldn't even answer if I'll be here, after the All-Star break. I don't know. I don't make those decisions, so I don't really know.
Are you renting or did you buy a house?
I'm renting, but I already paid all my rent up front.
Okay, well, that's nice. All right, just wondering, it's like to live that life,
Question. I don't know. I think any player besides Dirk on this team is tradable just because if they get the right piece, then they're going to trade. And I think that's what most teams, even the Thunder, they're not going to trade Durant or Westbrook, but I think anybody else is tradable if the right deal comes up,
Yeah, it just... If I were to say what I've learned in these first 42 games, or at least the last couple of weeks, it seems to me like Rick Carlisle wonders at important points of the game, can I have Chris Kaman and Dirk on the court at the same time? Are you guys...
Oh, for sure. I think that's a guarantee. It's not a question of whether or not he wonders. He does. He knows that me and Dirk are more offensive-minded players, both of us. Obviously, Dirk a lot more than me. With his ability to score the basketball, the matchup, he needs more of a defensive guy. So I feel like towards the end of the games, I'm getting stuck, just watching the game and good point is that, Elton comes in and does a great job for us. So, I can't sit there and argue, but at the same time, it is frustrating, but they're, that's part of the game. You got to do your job and you're getting paid to do a job, and you got to do it the best you can do it. And I can't, I can't say anything or do anything when I'm not on the floor. I got to do my job, and my job is to play what I'm asked to play, and that's all I can do.
So do you just, like you say, just play and then see how that plays out, or do you actually go talk to the coach, or does he talk to you guys and say, this is what I'm going to do for a couple of games, or how does that all work?
That I realize, and me and Coach have talked, that my numbers defensively aren't as good as Elton's numbers defensively per the numbers, but I'm not a big numbers guy, and I never have been. So I understand where he's coming from, and I respect that. That's his decision, and he's the coach, and they're paying him to make those kind of decisions, not me. They're paying me to do a job and to play basketball, and so I do the best I can do. Like I said, some games I'm going to play there in the fourth quarter. It just depends on how Elton's playing and how I'm playing. But for the most part, they're going to want someone in there that can play with Dirk that's going to play more defense than offense because that's what they need, and that's what this team needs. You know, had it be on another team, maybe they need a guy who can score more at the five and not so much defense because their four man's a good defender. You just never know what it's going to be. But that's what this team's always had. They always had five men who just play kind of defense and just is more of a role player on offense. And so I think it's a different look that this team hasn't had in a while. So maybe it's an adjustment. Maybe in time, you know, they'll figure another way out to do it. But right now, what I'm called to do is play the game until I got to go sit down.
All right, it's the Chris Kamen Show here on Sports Radio 1310 The Ticket. See, that was some very meaty basketball talk there. I like that.
Yeah, actually, that was, you know, those are the kind of conversations that not a lot of people want to talk about. They don't want to hit the real points, but, you know, that's the real deal. That's the way it breaks down. That's exactly how it breaks down. There's, you know, I'm shooting you guys straight. I'm not, you know, sugarcoating it. It is what it is. It's a pure numbers thing for these guys, and that's how they do it. And I respect that. That's their decision because they're getting paid to do their jobs, and they've been put in a place where it's their decision, and, you know, you just got to do what you're supposed to do. And try to help your team win when you're in there. And that's all I can do, and that's, you know, that's all I'm going to do.
The team seems like it's on quite an uptick these days, and we're not sure how that equates. I mean, there's a lot of things, a lot of balls in the air right now. One, of course, chasing a playoff spot. The other, the deadline that looms within the month, and just wondering about both the big picture and the small picture. I guess as a professional athlete, you learn how to block all that out and just worry about what you're supposed to do in the next time you're on the court.
Right. Exactly, because, you know, I can't control the trade situation. That happens until a certain point in time, then it can't happen anymore. And if you just find yourself worried about that the whole time, then, you know, you're going to stretch yourself out and it's not going to be worth even trying to go out there and play. So that's not something you can worry about. You have agents, you have coaches, you have owners, and they do all that kind of stuff. And, you know, they're going to give you kind of a heads up if something's going to happen. But for the most part, you know, I got traded 2 years ago, and you don't know. It just happened. I found out from my realtor's son that I got traded. They didn't call me. They didn't tell me. They didn't say anything to me. And then I got back from this meeting that I was having and at the facility, and they were ready, and they told me. So it happens all different ways for a lot of guys. Imagine those guys who get traded, you know, every year. You know, those guys have been traded 13 times in this league. And so that's not fun to have to move your whole family and all that. But it's part of the job, and the money that we make is really good money, obviously. And so there shouldn't be many complaints. But at the same time, everybody's still human, and we still have our emotions and all the other stuff that comes with that. And so it can be frustrating. But
your realtor's son?
I'm real cool. My realtor, she's like the first person that I met when I came to LA. She helped me buy a house, helped me sell it, helped me buy another house. So we became friends. And then her son is a little bit younger, and he was, you know, involved a little bit, coming to some of the games. I'd give him tickets or whatever. So he had my number, and we text back and forth and whatever. He texted me, he's like, "Hey, I think you just got traded." And I was like, "Really?" Because I was on a bus to like a team function. Like, you know, you have a team function every year, a certain amount. And I was on the bus to the team function, and he texted me. He's like, "Hey, I think you just got traded." So I was like, "Come on." And then I called my agent. He didn't answer. And then so I had the other guy who was in the trade call his agent, and he confirmed it.
That's kind of uncool.
The team never called me. The team never called me. They never told me. I played there 8 years. They didn't have the decency to call me or tell me. So
that's
crazy.
That's a violation right there.
I think it is. I really think it is. I think it's just disrespectful for someone to play with, you know, the same organization for that long. I knew all the people real close, everybody in the organization, the sales guys, the ticket guys, media people, everything. And they didn't even want to say nothing to me. It just really, you know, it bothers you to a point to where, like, really you just don't understand it. But then again, this is a business. And even as players, we got to remember that this is a business. This is about getting as much money as possible and as much time as you can play. And that's almost exactly what it's about. And then after you get all that settled and worked out, then you got to go out there and play basketball and do your job. That's kind of what this boils down to.
That's some brutal honesty right there, folks. You just don't hear a lot of guys saying that. You you know, it's about the fans and the city that I play in, and it really is a business, though. You know, people make money.
And the truth about it is it can be cutthroat. And for some guys, you know, there's guys, those superstars, they're never going to have to worry because they can kind of control their destiny because they're that good, you know, and there's special players out there. They're so talented and so good that they can turn the tide of a game into their favor, you know, and that's who they are, man. Those guys are blessed, and they work hard, and they have all the potential in the world, and they need to get the most out of their game.
But your sport in particular, Chris, of the four sports we follow, it seems like your sport in particular is the one that has 5 or 10 players seemingly running the league. For instance, the Dwight Howard soap opera right now. If I was a ranking,
yeah, I think that's a big joke to me. I mean, I think that's just a big joke. All that crap with the Lakers and stuff. Like, I don't know. They're trying to like buy a championship team, and instead of like, you know, working hard and trying to get guys to go out there and play. This don't seem like they have all the talent and potential in the world. It doesn't seem like they can make it all fit together, you know.
Well, it seems like most people around the league kind of enjoy it when it doesn't work, though.
Yeah. Well, those are the haters. I can understand the frustration that they're going through as the players and coaching staff and owners and all that.
Does it make me a hater if I don't want to see the Heat win the first year? They all got together. They all had this scheme. They're going to take over the NBA.
No, not necessarily. Not that you don't want to see them win, because especially in D-Town here, I can understand that.
Yeah.
But especially in here in D-Town, you can understand that. But it does make you a hater right in the beginning, right when they all do that, that you're saying, oh, I hope they don't win anything ever. That's hate. Cause you're
it probably is.
You're just jealous. Yeah, you're jealous they all got together and want to try. For those guys, they just want to try to win a championship. And they did the best thing they could do to try to figure it out. And as a player, I would do the same thing if I was that good. You know, if I was at the top of the league like LeBron and Dwayne Wade, you know, trying to get together and make things happen. And second year together, they make it happen, you know. And the first year, they were close.
It's not my fault they had the championship rally the first day, right? It's not my fault.
Yeah, exactly. not your fault at all.
It is just going the other way, though. I mean, it's weird how it's okay.
I mean, how about this? Would you be mad if LeBron James and Dwight Howard wanted to come to Dallas and try to win a championship? You wouldn't be hating them, would you?
I would initially be mad, and then I would get over it and go to the game. And I would celebrate.
Why would you initially be mad?
I would feel bad for the good folks of Cleveland and wherever look, the whole thing.
Okay, well, hold on. We just talked about this being a business.
I know. I don't want to accept that, even though it's true.
You're one of those guys. Okay.
I'm one of the guys that like to thank my team. And
here's what you want.
What?
You want everybody who gets drafted and who gets signed initially by a team to stay on that team for the entirety of their career?
I would say no.
Hold on. No,
hold on, Chris. First of all, I feel like you want to fight every day that you're on the show, and I think we could be great friends. But I
create controversy.
I will tell you, as little Bob growing up outside Milwaukee and loving my little Milwaukee Bucks, I like to believe there was a chance that they could succeed in the NBA at some point in my lifetime, and only now as a 40-year-old am I realizing that the Milwaukee Bucks only exist because they need other teams to play as teams are dominating. The teams that
they're that team that plays the Globetrotters that are always
yes, the Milwaukee Bucks are the Washington Generals, and I had to accept that and realize that they weren't making this league so that every team had a fair chance.
But if the Bucks got Magic Johnson somehow, you would. But if they did, that's
but
what
they
I'm saying.
Wouldn't.
If they did, you're doing backflips.
Let me just say this. Hold on. Back up a step, though. So let's talk about the Supersonics, who before, they got a really they were fortunate enough to have a terrible year on purpose, in my opinion, because they knew Kevin Durant was coming out of the draft or Greg Oden was coming out of the draft, whatever it was. They got Kevin Durant and Westbrook. They didn't know those players were going to be superstars, but they were pretty sure they were going to be good players. So you can kind of, when you have a top pick like that, you can kind of decide your future of your team a little bit, and maybe a lot if you really know. Like, Cleveland knew they won the lottery. They got LeBron James. But LeBron James is a person who is intelligent enough to know that this is a business, and that if he wins championships, he makes himself more money, he brings himself more fame, and puts himself at a level of competing that there's not many players that can say that they were there or have done that.
Yes. So, and the difference between
I can see the frustration that people can have. Oh, LeBron left our city because he tried with that city. He got to the finals, tried every year, you know, and it just he could probably see that there was no light at the end of the tunnel, in my opinion.
Yes, you know, you're exactly right. But the difference.
Let me go get this championship now. These fans want this game to be so pure. They want, if you want a pure game, don't even watch college. Go watch your high school games because college is tainted now too. There's no pure game anymore.
Don't even watch high school.
Yeah,
barely. You know, exactly. You got these kids that are too old to play, and they're playing. You know, they're cheating that way too. But,
just the difference between the players and the fans is the fans have to live in that city, and the player can go live in any city that he chooses if he's a free agent. And why would he want to live his whole life in Milwaukee if he could live in Los Angeles?
And the true, I agree with you. The true haters are the ones that really know that it's all about money, and they're not pure fans. The pure fans should understand that, hey, you know, this is going to be a team. We're going to have LeBron James for as long as we can. And then if we don't win, then, hey, he wants to win. He's a lover. He's a pure basketball player. He loves the game. So he's got to go. You know, he wants to go somewhere. He can try to win. He tried it here. It didn't work. Most people should understand that. The other haters know, hey, he's leaving us, trying to go somewhere else. Because he couldn't get it done here. That's what people were saying.
I would argue.
I just don't agree with that.
Yeah, and I would argue that the fans have adjusted, and that's why in your particular sport, I think an awful lot of fans do not follow franchises as much as they follow players.
I agree. There's a one exception to that is the Spurs. They understand what they have, you know, and no one. That's why David Stern hates the Spurs. I probably shouldn't say that, but that's why he doesn't like when the Spurs are out in the finals because the ratings go down. People say that all the time, and I don't know how true it is, but you hear stories all about that because their ratings go down. But their basketball is the purest basketball you're going to find, in my opinion, in the NBA. Just watching them play, they play a nice paced game. Their defense is solid. Their plays are solid. They get all their guys involved. That's why when he set them guys against the Heat and sent them home, they still almost won that game with their bench guys because they all know how to play and he has it all set up perfect. I love their system. You know, I think it's great and they're a tough team to beat, but that's to me is like a pure basketball and people don't like watching it.
What do you think about that fining them for sending the players home and resting them?
I don't know if I'm supposed to comment on that, but I think it's ridiculous. I think it's ridiculous. Honestly, I think it's ridiculous. I think there's no way that should happen. I think that's his team, and the owner owns the team. If he puts a coach in place and knows what he's doing, they lost the game by 5 points without Parker, Ginobili, or Duncan. I mean, that says a lot about the coach and the players.
Like all those people all those people wouldn't have bought Heat tickets to the game had they known.
Yeah, exactly. Because they didn't want to watch the Spurs anyway. They wanted to watch the Heat. You know.
All right. Finally, Chris, another fantastic.
Can I say one more thing? Hold your thought. I just want to say one more thing. All this boils down to high school, college, and the NBA is all economical. It's all about money. And it's the love of money. People are going to pay these players in college, pay these players in high school, pay these players to wear shoes and do this. And that's fine. And I respect that because that's how I get paid. That's how other guys get paid. But that's what this all is about. This whole world, everything that we're doing with sports is all about money.
Even
and if people think otherwise, then they're full of it.
Even sports radio.
Whoa.
Even the ticket.
For purity.
All right, last
question. We do not do this.
You know what's
money.
Not? You know what's not for money? Twitter. Right?
That's free.
You get on there, and you're not getting paid for that.
That's not true either.
But you're growing your brand.
I'm not saying me, but like a high-profile person is getting paid money to tweet certain things.
Like Kim Kardashian or something?
Yeah, whoever the frick it is, you know.
All right, last question for you.
I could care less about Kim Kardashian, but I'm just talking about, I'm sure she could care less about a bunch of other people, but I'm just saying she's not someone that, she makes a lot of money off, but like 50 Cent makes money off that stuff. You know, all the guys who have millions of followers are always going to make money just tweeting one thing because, you know, 6 million people or 5 million people are reading it.
Why are you ruining all the things I believed in before today?
It's just truth.
Now, is Santa Claus real? What are you going to tell me next?
Santa Claus is real.
Okay. Thank you.
For all of you who think he is, and he is real. The Tooth Fairy is real.
Well, clearly.
All right. As a former New Orleans Hornet for a brief moment in time, what's your position on the New Orleans Pelicans? Are you pro Pelicans or
just as far as a nickname?
I'm glad that I'm. Here's the deal. I'll just say this is all I'm going to say about this. I'm glad that I won't be a Pelican. Put it that way.
Don't go saying that just yet. You never know.
You never know, Chris. Right?
Wow.
You never know. But
no, I think it's an interesting name. What I really think is they should talk to the Jazz about buying the name back, because New Orleans Jazz makes perfect sense to me.
It really does.
Utah Jazz not making a lot of sense there.
No less sense than the Los Angeles Lakers. Am I right?
What about that should have been the Minnesota Lakers. But how about this one? How about the Utah Mountaineers, and they give their name to the New Orleans back to the New Orleans Jazz?
Make it happen.
Yeah, you know more people that could do that than we do.
I'm going to put some calls in. I'm going to send out a Twitter message, and hopefully it gets retweeted by someone who has a lot of followers, because I don't.
All right, well, it's at Chris Kamen, by the way. Right?
Yeah.
People join me, dang it.
I saw Elton Brand tweeted that you're really a hairy guy.
Wow.
Yes, that's true. That's a true story.
He must have seen you naked.
My nickname is the Sasquatch. Did you really just say that?
That he must have seen you naked? Yeah.
Yeah, that's interesting that you would say that on the radio.
Well, you've said quite a few interesting things on the radio yourself, my friend.
Yes, I love saying awesome things on the radio. My nickname is the Sasquatch for a reason, and it goes along those lines.
All right.
But hey, this is my thing. What are you going to do about it? I mean, what am I going to do about it? I can't. That's the way God made me, bro.
Laser.
Just own it, you know.
Nair.
Laser. I'm going to go to get a laser treatment for hair. It's just not worth it, bro.
How come we're losing it on our heads, yet the back is growing it?
Yeah.
What's going on here?
I wish I could, like, transplant some off of my back and shoulders and put it on my head. That would be awesome.
You think James Andrews would have figured that out by now?
Seriously.
All right, well, we've already had, like, the best episode we've ever had
since
last week. But let's cap it off with this.
At least the most honest episode, right?
Sure.
I have to cap it off with this because we said last segment we would.
Okay, go ahead.
We were just reading Dear Abby. Right?
Paper. This is a fantastic way to end this episode.
So we just want your opinion on this week's Dear Abby that we read.
What did you read?
Here we go. Dear Abby, if a couple has been dating for a long time and is sexually active, do you think he has a right to have sex with her while she's sleeping? My sister and I disagree about this. I feel it's abuse. My sister isn't quite sure. That's from Kathy in Kingston, New York.
That was in yesterday's Dallas Morning News.
Well, let me just say this. Kathy needs to keep her questions to herself, for starters. I don't think Abby can answer that.
Like, there's a lot of backstory we need, right?
I'm obviously just not sure. There's something's missing in the story. You're not really telling us everything. It's kind of missing parts, but I don't know, as being married, I don't know that my wife would like that. I don't think most wives would just want to be sleepy.
And according to Kathy here, it's not even they're married, but they are dating a long time.
Why wouldn't the guy just go take, if he really is that horny or whatever you want to call it, why wouldn't he just go take care of himself? Like you might as well put a sack of...
Well, he loves her. He loves her, Chris.
He loves her, so he's willing to make love to her while she's sleeping.
There you go.
Different strokes for different folks, right?
Hey, but she doesn't even know that he loves her because she's sleeping.
Right. It's perfect. Then he can go watch SportsCenter and she's not mad.
Who sleeps through that, though?
No, that's a great question. There's a lot of follow-up questions that do need to be asked. But,
but if she could...
Yeah, who is this? Who is this New Yorker that has this question? Like,
isn't it kind of awesome?
What are you like a? Let me think. Is she like a narcoleptic or something?
Almost, right? On the way.
This is going nowhere. It's getting there real fast.
We'll ask around the room, and we'll follow up on that next.
I'll tell you what, next practice tomorrow. I'll shoot around when everybody's in the locker room. I'll ask what they would think, but. I'm pretty sure people are going to be like, who just is sleeping while that's happening?
Maybe it's kind of hot dog down the hallway.
Seems like a good way to.
Oh, wow.
Wow, indeed.
Hey, listen, like I said, this is going nowhere. This is not. This topic is just.
Yeah.
Dear Abby, please don't ever write to me again. I hate you. Let's not talk about this stuff.
Chris, a pleasure, and let's talk again next week, huh?
Hey, you know what? That sounds freaking awesome.
All right, go Mavericks.
Go Mavs.
There he goes.
Thanks, Chris
Kamen, ladies and gentlemen.
Gentlemen, have a good one.
You too, man. Sir. Have a good day.
Godspeed.
Bye, Chris. Chris?
Wow.
Where'd he go?
Wow.
The weekly Bob versus Chris show.
Fight night. It's going down.
There's a fight to be alpha male of that segment.
Yeah, just to start, at the beginning of the fight, Bob starts to ask a question. And then Chris gets upset, and then that's when they start.
He called you on your long question. You didn't even bring up guns.
That wasn't even half as long as I can really do when I want to, dude. All right, it's 206. Yeah, we didn't get the guns this week. 206 on the ticket.